the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth on this Catholic Radio Week. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Happy Catholic Radio Week.
Happy Catholic Radio Week.
Hey, where every week is Catholic Radio
That's
Week.
That's right. But we're going to celebrate this week somehow. We hadn't figured it out yet, but by golly, we will.
We should have party hats.
We should have worn funny hats, if nothing else.
And you know, today is the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe, mm-hmm. and he's one of our boys, because I actually have on my desktop a picture of St. Maximilian Kolbe sitting by a transmitter with a microphone. So he is one of the patron saints of evangelization through media. So how about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
So we're going to pray to
that. And that's why it's probably kicking off the week of Catholic Radio Week.
I like it.
And we're going to do that with a prayer in his honor. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Maximilian Kolbe, patron saint of the addicted, I come before you seeking your assistance and prayers for all those suffering with addictions. Pray that God will help them break the chains of addiction that hold them bound and set them free to live a life of health, happiness, and hope. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
So patron for the addicted too.
Yes.
He's got a lot. He does a lot.
Yeah.
What can't he do?
I know.
He's one of the saints that even as a young child, he stuck out to me. Just his story is so powerful. We'll learn a little bit more about him later on in today's show. But 11 after following the gospel, we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. All of these events can be found on our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He is a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday we talk about how to raise Catholic teens in today's world. It's always a fun conversation with Alan, so stay tuned for that. And in 35 minutes, Dr. Tina Holland joins us. She's the president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU. She'll be giving us her monthly update. And in 48 minutes, Philip Campbell joins us. He is a Catholic author, and today he's talking about his book called The Story of Mary, From the Dawn of Time to Today. I just love talking about Mary. I love talking about Marian devotions, just learning a little bit more about her, just different things. So looking forward to hearing about Philip's new book and to learn a little bit more today about Our Lady. So if you don't know much about her, then this interview is definitely for you. Or if you love her, then this interview is definitely for you. So stay tuned for that.
With the Assumption of Mary being tomorrow, what a great time to talk about the Blessed Mother. So no real change in the weather. We'll talk a little bit about that, though. The weather pattern is going to continue to be the same just as it was last week and the week before. It's basically hot, humid, and hellacious.
Hellacious.
That's right.
Indeed.
And plenty of sunshine and dry, though, if that's what you're looking for.
Nope.
Kind of like drinking wine out in the desert. High today, 102, with a slight chance of afternoon showers. And that's a very slight chance. Winds are out of the west right now at 8 miles an hour. This will continue, as I said, through Sunday, with exception possibly being Wednesday. We're expecting a cool front to move through. That's right, a cool front.
Yep.
So what are they going to bring the temps down to?
96. 70. I'm so glad you asked. It's going to feel spring all over again.
There's a day this week. It's going into the 70s as a low. I saw that.
You saw that. Don't believe it. In the meantime.
Pumpkin spice, Gabby.
Okay.
There you go.
The winds
will be out of the north at 5 to 10 miles an hour on that day on Wednesday. So that talk about a day of celebration. That's going to be the day to
do it.
In the meantime, it'll stay hot and humid. Temperatures, everybody's reporting 80 degree temperatures. The hottest spot, New Orleans, 85. Home of Thibodeau's, the cool spot at 80.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. This terrible reality, namely, that the finest flower of the human race, the Son of Man, will be betrayed. Jesus' crucifixion underscores the tragic self-deceit under diabolical influence that we human beings too often operate. Every venial sin strikes Jesus in the face, and our mortal sins shout, "Crucify him!" In betraying Jesus, we actually betray and destroy ourselves. People hate Jesus for the same reason that Joseph's brothers hated and attempted to kill him, because Jesus confronts us with the reality of our better selves, who we could be in contrast to who we actually are. Therefore, we feel the sharp edge of judgment and inferiority. It's easier to fall back into the fantasy world of seeking power, wealth, and pleasure. Then one of two choices is made. We either determine to change and become conformed to God's loving call, or we feel we must destroy, or at the very least reject or ignore, that possibility in order to escape the haunting reprimand of our bad choices. The second part of today's gospel deals with the temple tax. It is self-evident that kings do not tax their own sons. So by declaring the sons are free, Jesus claims for himself and his followers, the sons of the Son, an exemption from the law that bound ordinary Israelites. Here we are reminded of Jesus' earlier declarations that he was greater than the temple and the Lord of the Sabbath. By affirming their exemption from taxation, Jesus affirmed that he and his apostles are sons of the kingdom of heaven in an utterly literal sense. We can only imagine Peter's confusion when Jesus then miraculously paid the temple tax. Well, what then is the lesson in Jesus' behavior? What is not a strict obligation in the absolute scheme of things, paying the temple tax, should nevertheless be undertaken out of charity, as a generous concession to those who do not yet fully understand eternal values, so as not to obstruct their way toward the fullness of the gospel. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and also thank you, Father Chris Decker. It is almost 11 after the hour in this Monday morning. Happy Monday to you, and thank you for joining us here on Wake Up. There's going to be a men's Acts retreat coming up. In particular, if you're a member of the St. Joan of Arc or Ascension of Our Lord Church parishes in La Place, they're teaming up to have an Acts retreat starting August 24th through the 27th at the Lumen Christi Retreat Center in Schriever, Louisiana. The cost is $300 a person, and it includes transportation to and from the retreat center, meals, and lodging. If you'd like more information, go to ccmedia.live.
St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington is having a mother-daughter program focusing on the learning and sharing of God's gift of human sexuality. The program will be on August 6th from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. in St. Mary's Hall in St. Peter Church Parish in Covington. And for more information, once again, ccmedia.live.
Yes. Well, are you interested in becoming Catholic, or do you want to know a little bit more about the Catholic faith? You have an opportunity to attend a series of sessions to help navigate your questions and gain answers. There is no commitment, just an opportunity to explore the church in a non-committal way. Sessions will be held on Sunday from 9 to 11 a.m. at St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Metairie in the conference room. For details, you can go to ccmedia.live.
All right. Well, the big day is almost here. In fact, it's tomorrow as yep. Father Champagne is coordinating his annual Eucharistic procession on the Teche River for the Feast of the Assumption. And as I said, that's tomorrow, August 15th. Put it on your calendar. This time, the boats will travel down the Teche beginning at New Iberia, heading toward Franklin. So close to 100 boats, if not more, by now is signed up. This year's special guest, Kevin Wells, the author of the book, Priest We Need, Save the Church, and The Priest and Beggar. That's the other book he's written. He will be participating in the event, which is kind of neat. This is a great way for you and your family to participate in this event, which is a great way to meet fellow Catholic warriors in prayer and hope, storming heaven as we readdress the challenges our families are facing in today's world. Go to ccmedia.live for all the details. We've got everything there for you if you want to go see the route and where you might want to catch up with them. Don't forget the Knights on Bikes, the Knights of Columbus, are going to be also leading the procession on land while the boats are traveling by water.
So stay between the road and the bayou.
Yeah. Well, and if you can't, somebody will help you.
That's right. Okay, sign up today. There's still space for a Family That Prays retreat, October 14th through the 15th. This unique family weekend getaway is intended for married couples and their children 7 to 17, and it'll take place, once again, October 14th and the 15th at the beautiful St. Joseph's Abbey. And through God's grace, each family will be enriched in their love for God and each other. Couples will enjoy their stay at St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center, while the teens and youth will lodge in the cabins of St. Abbey, and there's no cost. We do not want finances to be the reason why a family is unable to attend. A suggested donation per family is only $100. And my wife and I went on that, and it's wonderful. It's nice. Really good. You can see the big old families there. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, you can join the Catholic Community Media Coffee Club. Our coffee club is a recurring $30 a month donation that sustains our operating costs for our station. And when you join the coffee club, we'll send you a stainless steel dosage tumbler as well. So you can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Okay. Well, there's a number of events. If you want more, go to ccmedia.live, as Gabby said. You get more details there. In the meantime, our friend Alan Migliorato's coming up. We're going to talk about, hey, what happened to your teenagers after you raised them
so nice
as great kids?
Yeah.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 14th. Today we celebrate St. Maximilian Kolbe. Born in Poland in 1894, Maximilian Kolbe entered the conventual Franciscans at 16 and was ordained at 24. He developed a strong devotion to Mary, a devotion that would offer him great solace in his final days. In 1939, when the Nazis invaded Poland and bombed their small town, Father Kolbe and his fellow friars were arrested briefly, then released. Arrest came again in 1941, and without trial or sentence, he was transported to Auschwitz. There he managed to hear confessions and celebrate Mass using smuggled bread and wine. Several prisoners managed to escape, and in retaliation, 10 men from his block were selected to die. Father Kolbe asked to take the place of one of the men, who was a husband and father. The stunned Nazi officer agreed to the exchange. Father Kolbe and the other 9 men were stripped, locked in a cell, and left to die without food or water. After 2 weeks, some, including the Franciscan priest, were still alive. They were injected with carbolic acid and their remains thrown into an oven. Maximilian Kolbe was canonized in 1982 in the presence of the man he had saved. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
almost 19 after the hour on this Monday morning, and welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, along with Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And boy, we're going to learn a few lessons right now. Good morning, Big Al. Glad to have you again, as always. And interesting topic. Yeah, interesting topic here today, brother. And, you know, as parents, we raise our kids what we think is properly by disciplining them when needed, caring for them, loving for them, and all of a sudden they become teenagers, and the next thing you know, our little angels are not little angels anymore. What gives?
Right. You know, when we decided, and you and I were talking about this topic, an image came to my mind. A few years ago, my daughter planted these tomatoes in our backyard, and they grew so big, but what happened was, like, our neighbor had some, you know, was doing some gardening, and their yard was a mess, and they ended up, like, having a windstorm, and, like, a bunch of the weeds landed right in the where the tomatoes were. And not only did the tomatoes grow, but a bunch of weeds were growing around these tomatoes. And I think that was, like, to me, a perfect image of what parenting is like. Like, we plant one thing, right? And then there's sometimes where, like, where did this come from? Like, where did these weeds come from?
Yes.
And it's nothing that necessarily the parenting has been done wrong. But, you know, I got the bigger picture of that, and I'm thinking, well, maybe that's how God feels about us, you know? Not as human beings, as parents. It's like, hey, I gave you guys all these gifts to use as parents to raise your kids in the faith. What have you done with them? Like, what happened? Where did the turn happen? When did you put the blinker on and turn down the wrong street? Because I don't remember this being part of the plan. And, you know, it's that grace that we have to have for our kids sometimes, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to want to spread their wings. And a lot of times when they spread their wings, they fly in the wrong direction. And we have to be patient. We have to stay steadfast and keep telling them that we love them. And there's really only so much that we can do, but that's kind of the gift and the curse of free will at the same time.
Yeah. Isn't it funny, as a parent, that you forget what you yourself was like as a teen? What happens there? Why do we have that mental blank? All of a sudden, it's like we never did these things, right? I'm tongue-in-cheek, of course. But, because parents, they want responsible teens, not teens who are going to be rebellious. And teens, they're looking for trust and not to be tested. And yet, we kind of both fail in both of those areas sometimes.
You know, that's a great question. I think what happens is that we say, well, I already made that mistake. Why is my child making it? Did I not tell them the dangers of this? You know, and we forget, like, we were that age. And our parents, I remember my grandfather saying the same things to me that I'm saying to my kids. It's like, you know, you're gonna remember this one day. You're going to wish that you listened to me and, you know, and try to infuse that Catholic guilt into helping them avoid some of the problems and struggles that they're going to face, because we see it, you know, especially in, like, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. We're like, look, this kid's not a good kid, you know, and you need to stay away from this one. And that's when they go closer, you know?
Yeah, it's like, isn't it crazy?
Are you not listening?
Yeah.
Well, we did, too.
Yeah, to a point. And then until you learn, like, hey, you know, they're right. I may never tell them they were right, but I am going to listen to them and leave this person alone. Or same thing with peer pressure or groups. I can remember, my mom would say, I don't like those boys you hanging around with, you know. And it was like, why? They're good guys, until they got in trouble. And all of a sudden, you know, you almost get arrested, and you know what? Maybe mom and dad were right. So So how does a mom and dad understand where their teen is coming from as they progress in the teen years?
Part of the trick to this is sharing with our kids, like, listen, I made mistakes too, you know, and I'm not perfect. And I know I look like it, and I know I act like it sometimes, and I know I want you to think I am. But it becomes a humbling part of parenting, and that's a big part that we miss. Is humbling ourselves and say, listen, I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm trying to help you avoid making the same ones, you know? And a lot of times parents are ashamed of the mistakes that they made growing up, and they want to forget them so bad that they pretend they never happened, and then they get mad at their kids for doing the same ones. So it's a matter of telling you don't have to share the intimate details of your sins with your children. However, I think there's an understanding that comes like, yeah, okay, well, my mom's been through this or my dad's been through something similar to this, and they're just, and you know, they have my best interest in mind, and they just want to love me and help me avoid these things.
Yeah.
And there's only so much we can do as parents because they're not robots. It would be wonderful if we could program our kids to do things, but they're not going to do them. They're going to make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that we have to get angry. We can be disappointed. We can tell them, listen, I don't like the choices you're making because I hate to see what they're going to do to your future, you know, and I want you to stop. I want you to think about these things. I've made the same mistakes growing up, and that's a humbling thing for parents to do, is have that talk with their kids. And a lot of parents don't want to do that. They're going to say, I'm not going to do that because then my kids are going to think it's okay for them to do this since I did it.
And you're nailing it. Communication is the key, meaning you not only do the talking, but as a parent, you do the listening, too. And is there some compromise along the way? I mean, is it okay for parents to compromise in the aspects of teens' life? I know it depends on what the situation is, but there's got
to
be some give and take, right?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, we never compromise on morality.
Morality.
We never compromise on truth.
Right.
You know, but there's like, you know, can you stay out till 10:30 instead of 10 because you got something going on where, you know, it's going to be really difficult. You're going to miss the best part of, you know, the concert or whatever you're at. There's compromise there, but there's not compromise in, well, you know, it was just a couple of joints or a couple of beers, you know. Like, no, there's no compromise when it comes to, you know, the safety of our children.
Yeah. Say that to our production crew, will you? In the meantime.
Whoa, wait.
I'm just kidding. Hey, it's Monday. I can do these things once in a while.
Oh, boy.
They're going to lock me up when it's over with
now. Yes, we are.
But let's talk about the moral issue in the aspect of that's where a lot of the conflict, and I don't mean beating up, but the fact that the difference of opinion of one's faith. A lot of times, teenagers want to go out and explore. Parents are saying, no, you got to go back to the Catholic Church. You go to church like we've been going ever since you were a child. How do you handle that as a parent?
Well, I think, again, dialogue and communication is where, you know, well, what do you want to explore? What is it that you think you're going to get over here that you're not receiving here? Because as we know, the faith is the fullness of truth. And so, like, there is truth there's truth in Christianity. So it's one of those things where we really need to understand our faith so that we can pass it on to our children. A lot of times parents avoid that conversation because they really don't know a whole lot about their faith to begin with. You know, they're Catholic because their parents were Catholic. Mm. But really dive into, like, why am I Catholic? Like, that's a great question for parents to ask themselves. Is it because I find the real true presence, you know, body, soul, divinity of Christ in the Eucharist? That's got to be the answer, because otherwise, why would you be Catholic? Why would you remain Catholic?
Yeah, when you're talking to teens and you do youth groups, what is the biggest issue they claim to have when it comes to their faith?
Oh, it's all over the board. You know, it's the Catholic Church doesn't allow, you know, homosexual marriage, and because society tells them that that's okay and love is love. And it's just a matter of forming, you know, it's a formation of faith that happens with kids, you know, where we expect them to understand something that we understand, but that's not how ministry works. We have to meet kids where they're at and bring them to Jesus. And if we bring people to Jesus, he'll bring them to the Catholic faith. Like, there's no doubt about that. So we just got to keep bringing our kids to Jesus and answer the tough questions and be honest with your kids. If you don't know, like, Mom, how do you know the real presence of Christ is in the Eucharist? Well, you know, that's a great question, and I never really thought about it. And let's go explore that together, because I have questions too. But obviously, it's true, so we've got to explore why is it true and how is it true to us. And morality and truth is not relative, you know. So there's one truth, there's one way, and there's one gate to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ, and he is present in the Eucharist. So we can tell our kids that all day long, but until they kind of understand why, that's when they start believing on their own. They've got to have a faith of their own. And if they have questions about the faith, don't jump away from the Catholic faith into something else that's easier for you to understand. I mean, if we only did things we understood, we'd be very limited in our own lives. We'd have very limited perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you recommend for a parent to kind of learn their faith? I know that's a wild question, but would you recommend starting reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church?
It depends on the parent. You know, some parents can dive into a catechism and really start grasping it. Some really, I think it's better to get involved with like a community of faith, like a Bible study or a small group. We have small groups at our parish where we discuss I have a group of 12 men that I meet with and on Wednesday nights, and we discuss the scriptures from Sunday. And there's a lot of questions that these guys have that I'm happy I'm there to answer. Some I'm like, well, that's a great question. So what do you think? You know, and we kind of help them. I kind of help them kind of bring this out. Like, where's your struggles? What don't you believe? What do you believe? Like, why do you think that's not true? And a lot of times it's just misguided, you know? So I think it's important to be inside of a faith community.
I think that's great. And I don't think enough people think or realize the importance of a spiritual group. And I'm a member of one as well. We meet on Wednesdays as well in the morning. So, Alan, thank you so much for your insight and sharing your thoughts regarding teens. We'll have you back next week, and won't be long. You're going to be live and direct in Mandeville, Louisiana, at Our Lady Queen of Peace Church, doing a talk on the 24th and 25th of August. You have a good day, brother.
Yeah, you can put it on your... All right, God bless.
Dr. Tina Holland is next here on Wake Up.
Past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And right now we have Dr. Tina Holland. She's the president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge. And good morning, Dr. Tina.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing great. You had a big event last week, a ribbon cutting of the beautiful St. Francis Hall. And not only that, you got a lot going on coming up, don't you?
We certainly do. You know, that kind of kicked off our centennial opening celebrations with the blessing and the ribbon cutting. And yesterday afternoon, we had our centennial convocation. Convocation is an annual event whereby we bring everybody together, the faculty and the staff and all new students.
Okay.
Where the students commit together with the faculty and staff to living out the core values. It's sort of a ceremonial passing off from the admissions counselors and academic advisors of the new students over to their faculty.
Yeah.
And it's students and their families, and they meet the faculty who will be with them in the classrooms throughout the year. And then we'll have, you know, this kicks off then Welcome Week, which today's first day of classes. And then we'll have, on Thursday, there's a Mass of the Holy Spirit, our centennial opening Mass, and what they call a Big Bash Welcome. You know, it's a huge celebration, welcoming everybody back, new students and returning students. So it really is a living out of how our institution is really relationship based.
It's just amazing what it has become in 100 years and how it's blossomed, if you will. I mean, that St. Francis Hall is just beautiful. Now, the Mass that's going to be taking place, this is on the 17th, right? You said the 17th,
yes.
That's coming up. And that are you doing that in the hall, or where are y'all doing that?
We're doing it in St. Francis Hall, yes.
Okay.
And it's such a gift because we can open up the atrium. There are three adjacent classrooms, and we can open all three classrooms, and they spill into the atrium.
Yeah.
And then the stairwell with the wooden pillar that has our core values on it kind of serves as the altar. So it it's a wonderful space to be able to have all kinds of celebrations.
It really is. It's a beautiful building and all. Now, I take it this is for students and faculty only, or how does that work?
It's for the university community, students, gotcha. Faculty, staff, mm-hmm. All to kind of come together as a community to bring in the new academic year.
Yeah.
Now, we have a celebration that like this every year, but uh-huh. this year is a particularly big deal because of our centennial year.
Right, right.
So it will be quite an event.
And then you have other events coming up throughout the year that are just going to continually celebrate the centennial event, right? I mean, the 100 years.
Yes.
So
right.
Yeah,
and,
talk about that.
One of the big ones is our centennial gala, which is October 5th.
Okay.
And tickets will become available for that when you go online, and we'll in future shows we'll share a little bit of information on that.
Fête des Fidelis. Am I saying that right?
That's right.
That's right.
And this year it's the Centennial Fête.
Yeah. Wow. And then, let's see, you have, in November is the big event, right? The campus birthday party.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. On the feast of, it's actually on the birthday of the school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there, I mean, do you have detailed plans for that yet, or is that too far down the line?
Yes. Well, they are, I've been given some details, but the folks who are cooking all of this up are keeping that embargoed yet for a little while.
Okay, gotcha. I bet you. Well, I mean, 100 years. What wonderful. And like I said, the tradition and to see where you guys have come. That is pretty amazing. Now, you've got some new appointments there at Fran U. Dr. David Whitten, who visits us, and Martin O'Quinn. Talk about that.
Yes, David, first of all, Dr. David Whitten mm-hmm. has been with us for a number of years, I'd say almost 20 years. He was here well before I got here in 2014,
mm-hmm.
And was a member of came on as a member of the theology faculty, and grew into the director of the theology program, leading the way in the deacon formation curriculum
right.
with with our diocesan folks.
Mm-hmm.
And, as his leadership continued to grow and develop, and as Sister Martha Ann, our previous vice president for mission, was preparing to retire from full-time work, it became time to really marshal David's talents at the institutional level.
Mm-hmm.
I hate pulling him out of the classroom, and I want him to be in the classroom whenever we can.
Yeah.
To really use his talents, develop them further in a broader leadership role.
Yeah.
And already he's hit the ground running. He's a tremendous help.
He's an amazing guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And in fact, next month he'll be standing in for me on this show because I'll be off the grid riding horses out in Montana.
Oh, there you go. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh,
we
got to
get a full report on that. Yee-haw! When you come back.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Anyway. Little well, sound effect
and,
there for you.
Martin Oakland is a...
Yes.
Is a Louisiana native, actually, who went off to school at Belmont Abbey in North Carolina and is coming to us as the VP for Enrollment Management.
Wow.
He's a young man, very faithful Catholic, who went to school at Belmont Abbey, a wonderful mission-centered Catholic institution.
It is.
And he started out as a student worker in admissions, and made that his life's work. He just worked his way up
to an
admissions counselor, and then all the way up into the senior admissions role at mm-hmm. Belmont Abbey. And he saw this opportunity and said, wow, to be able to go back home and be at such a mission-centered institution, how could I turn it down?
Doing what you do best. That's right. Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that is
so
fantastic.
We're just blessed. So blessed to have him, so when he gets into town, I look forward to our all of our friends in the community, including those at Catholic Community Radio.
Yes,
to welcome Martin.
Absolutely. Dr. Tina, there's one thing that I noticed, and Damien was there too this weekend. It's just beautiful that we had the diaconate ordination and the you guys were a huge part of their formation. You guys were their formation, right?
Yes, we are the we provide the formation for the deacons. Mm-hmm. Of course, we work very carefully and closely with the diocesan priests and formators as well. But the curriculum was developed in partnership between the theology faculty here and the formation folks there at the diocese.
Right.
We worked with Father Jamin Davi to create the program, mm-hmm. Probably 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that
perhaps longer, 9 years ago.
It's just very encouraging knowing that they got this solid theological foundation and where it comes from, like folks from like Dr. David Whitten and the other teachers that you have there.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
So encouraging.
Dr. Pedraza, Brian yep. Pedraza is now the department chair for theology, and again, we just love growing our people and watching them. You know, I remember hiring him as a brand new PhD out of Catholic University.
Yeah.
And was thrilled to have him.
Great. Dr. Tina, once again, thanks for joining us. You enjoy your trip to Montana, and we will talk to you when you get back.
Thank you very much. God bless.
All right. God bless. When we come back, Gabby's going to talk to Philip Kimball about his new book. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Our next guest is Philip Kimball. Philip is a Catholic author, and today he's talking about the children's book, The Story of Mary, From the Dawn of Time to Today. Philip, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
One of my favorite things that I remember doing with my son when he was very, very young was reading. We read all of the time, and he was constantly picking up different books. And I loved having Catholic books just on his little bookshelf that he could pick up, and we could learn a little bit about the faith where he could understand, but also where we get my mind kind of thinking, oh yeah, that's really cool, or that's kind of like an enhancement of what I think it is, and enhancing our knowledge of the faith. And I think this is exactly what we can find in your book, The Story of Mary, From the Dawn of Time to Today. So tell our listeners a little bit more about what we can find in it.
Yeah, so this is a book, I'd say it's probably for maybe fourth grade up until eighth grade age range. It's a comprehensive book about Our Lady, and that includes her the history of her life as presented in the Gospels. It includes Old Testament symbols going back all the way to Genesis. It includes stories of saints that had devotions to Mary, the stories of the devotionals themselves, like the rosary and brown scapular, miraculous medal. It talks about apparitions. Mm-hmm. It talks about apologetics for kids are talking to their Protestant friends. And it even has lots of neat things like talks about famous paintings of Mary, or even physical features like mountains and rivers that are named after Mary. So it's trying to present a comprehensive view of just the place of the Blessed Mother in the Catholic faith, theologically, devotionally, and even culturally.
I love it. So this is actually a book that my son can read now. And I love that you dive deeper into those topics that we have maybe always have heard, like the brown scapular, the miraculous medal, Marian devotion, something we are constantly hearing. Can we kind of talk a little bit about those and how we can learn a little bit more about them and how they came to be?
Yeah, sure. So I really wanted to tackle these devotions in their historical context and how we got them, and the stories of the saints, or if there was an apparition behind it. So when we read about the brown scapular, it doesn't just start with the brown scapular. It starts with the story of the Carmelites in the Holy Land, and it tells the story of them coming back to Europe during the Crusades and how they had difficulty finding a home in Western Europe. And then it talks about them coming to England and Simon Stock, and then how he had this vision of the Blessed Mother giving him this brown scapular, and then it goes on to talk about the promises. So it really kind of shows the the origin spiritually and historically of each of these devotions. And we do talk about the scapular, the rosary, the miraculous medal. We talk about different particular devotions to the Blessed Mother, seven sorrows, etc. And so I was really trying to kind of give kids this idea of that, not just like, here's a scapular, this is just this thing that we wear, but here's why we wear it, yeah. Here's where it came from.
I love that. And I can see our president, David Dawson, is actually flipping through the book right now in the studio.
It's really nice because, Philip, your chapters are only like 10 pages long each, so it's something that a young person can grasp, and it's detailed enough for full understanding, but at the same time, it wouldn't bog them down, and I think it's neat. And one of them I just stumbled across here, I just think is cute. We're in the Old Testament foreshadowing of Our Lady, where it has head crushers. Okay, I mean, that got my attention, you know, and that's pretty amazing. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we're probably familiar with the passage in Genesis that says that Mary, the head of the serpent.
Yes.
And there's all these images of the Old Testament of women that crush their enemies' heads in the Book of Judges. There's a woman that drops a stone off a wall and crushes the head of an evil general, or there's another woman who crushes a guy's head that's sleeping in a tent that's a bad guy. There's all these
Old Testament
where
right.
Should be
scared. Yeah. So these are all images of Mary.
Right. That's amazing.
The one cool thing that I think this book has, Philip, that you include, which I think is a little brave of you, but it's something that we should really dive into as Catholics, is apologetics for when non-Catholics challenge Marian devotion and the topic of Mary. Can you dive deeper into that and how a young child can flip through that?
Yes. So I think Marian devotion is misunderstood, obviously, by non-Catholics. Especially living in a majority non-Catholic country like the United States, kids are bound to get challenged by it if they have Protestant friends. So I included several, the whole book has apologetical elements to it, but there's a dedicated chapter at the end that tackles like your standard Protestant challenges to Marian devotion. And I tried to give answers to it the way that a kid could understand to. So I envisioned basically like two 12-year-olds talking to each other when I wrote these sections. And I gave a kind of like an apologetical chapter, but structured in a way that kids could explain it.
I love that. And you have stories of Marian apparitions, Guadalupe, Lourdes in France, names and titles that the church has given Our Lady, and her life according to scripture, and symbols and prophecy of Mary in the Old Testament. I absolutely love this.
I do want to mention that with apparitions, I didn't just stick to the famous ones. We did Mary all around the world. So you're going to find Our Lady of Lavang. You're going to find the Philippines. You're going to find Zaytun. Mm-hmm. You're going to find global apparitions of Mary.
Yeah.
Philip, do you think this, I mean, seeing David flip through this, Dave, I'm going to actually snag it from you tomorrow.
You can have it.
So I can take it home. Do you think this is kind of helpful toward adults and parents as well? I would think so.
I do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just because it's oriented for kids, I never try to write a kid's book that isn't also going to be interesting for adults. I definitely think it can help adults as well, even if the language is more appropriate for kids.
I love this. Where can we pick up our copy of the book, The Story of Mary, From the Dawn of Time to Today?
Yeah, well, you can go to tanbooks.com, and it's also available on Amazon or anywhere else, I think.
Thank you so much, Philip Campbell, Catholic author of the book, The Story of Mary, From the Dawn of Time to Today. You can also check out our local Catholic bookstores in our listening area and help support them as well. Thank you so much, Philip, for being with us.
Thank you.
Any book of Mary I'm all about. I like this one because it dives into different topics.
Oh, a lot of topics,
it
Gabby.
Goes into
I mean,
devotion.
Yeah, this runs the gamut here. So, yeah, you're going to like this a lot after I read it. I'm kidding. No, I'll get this to you.
Please, you have to share.
Okay.
Awesome.
Today being the feast day of Maximilian Kolbe, we are going to say a closing prayer. It's also Catholic Radio Week. So yes, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, who said, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend, through the intercession of St. Maximilian Kolbe, whose life illustrated such love, we beseech you to grant us our petition and to bless Catholic Radio today and forever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're talking to Father Peregrine Fletcher. He has a new book on St. Philomena, so we'll dive deeper into this saint. Ben Clapper with Louisiana Right to Life will give us an update. And Maggie Green, Catholic author of the book, The St. Monica Club, she's going to talk about what can we do as parents if our children have fallen away from the faith. So a very good topic to tune into. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.